I believe it's the will of the Lord for a preacher to preach about the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Woo! And listen, I almost could hear that today. Like a mighty rushing wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And here's the part I love. And I believe the Lord wants to recreate today. Are you ready? And they were all. The praise team. The musicians. The people on the right, the people on the left, the people in the middle, and even the people in the back. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you that's God's will in this house right now. That everybody under the sound of my voice would be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me preach for as long as you'll let me, I guess, about the gift that keeps on going. Look at somebody right now and say, this is the gift that keeps on going. It wasn't given 3,000 years ago, and we're just remembering it today. It wasn't something that happened in a previous age or season and died with that age or season. I'm here to tell you there are people under the sound of my voice that testify and say, no, 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 because it happened to me. I was filled. Come on, this is your chance right here. I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach about the gift that keeps on giving. Now, would you raise your hands, open your heart, pray this prayer with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It is already established in heaven. Today, we celebrate, Lord Jesus, the outpouring of your Spirit. We believe, Lord, that you want to do it in this house on every heart and every head here, Lord. We praise you for what you're going to do or what you've already done. And we open our hearts to the word of God. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. God bless you. You can be seated. He showed himself alive after his passion, the Bible says, with not one or two, but many infallible proofs, being seen of them after his crucifixion and his resurrection 40 days. And he spoke to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He commanded them and gave them instruction that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait on the promise of the Father. He told them, he said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. He promised them that they would receive power after the Holy Ghost had come upon them. And the Bible tells us that when he had spoken these things, and while they watched and beheld him, he was taken up in a cloud and received him up into heaven out of their sight. And they obeyed. They obeyed what Jesus told them to do. And something supernatural happened when they obeyed the words of Jesus. Something beyond their human abilities. 50 days after the Passover, the crucifixion, in the middle of a celebration of harvest called Pentecost, one accord, one place, a sound invades the room. It sounds like a wind. It fills everywhere. There's no escaping it. No one in the back. There's no one on the sides. There's no one. There's no observers because the Holy Ghost saturated that room. And they were all filled with that promise that Jesus said they could have. Everybody in that room was changed from that day forward. And it didn't stay in that room. Hello, I said it didn't stay in that room. It spilled out into the streets, and the Bible says that men heard the wonderful works of God in their own tongues from these spirit-filled believers that had just come from an upper room full of spiritual fire. And Peter stands up with the other 11 and lifts up his voice and says, "All you men of Judea and Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words. These are not drunken, Alan, as you suppose, but this," seeing that it's only the third hour of the day, "but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, say God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Your sons are going to get it. Your daughters are going to get it. They're going to prophesy. They're going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter preached to those people on that street. He preached to them the gospel. He preached to them the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it did to them what it's done to many of us. It moved them. It moved them to know that somebody cared enough to go to a cross and give their life for their sins and their mistakes. And they said, "What do you do with that?" Peter said, I've waited for you to ask a question like that. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall, come on somebody, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it worked, because they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Somebody say added. He added 3,000. Let me just tell you, from that day until this very moment right here in this room, God has never stopped adding, and he has no plans to discontinue it now. If he had his way, there wouldn't be one person that walked out of here except they spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. If he had his way, there wouldn't be anybody that walked out of here without the power of God ruling and reigning in their life in the form of the Holy Ghost. That promise is still active, and it's still alive, and it's still intact today. Power is still being poured out. Come on, look at somebody right next to you and say, "There's still enough power for you." Tell them. God is still enabling people to live spiritual lives in relationship with him. And it happens through the power of the Holy Ghost. It was Paul that wrote in Romans and said, "For the kingdom of God, it's not eating and drinking, and it's not things that are temporal." But then he said, "It's righteousness and peace and joy." Where do those things exist? Where can you find peace in the, in the middle of a world that's going crazy? Where can you find what's right in the middle of a world that don't know how to define it? Where can you find power and joy in the middle of a world that's sucking the life out of everything? I tell you where you can find it. You can find it in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell somebody, God's got what you're looking for. It's in this place. Righteousness, peace, joy. That's the kingdom. The kingdom, the word describes it over and over. Jesus defined it. He said, among other things, it's like seed sown on all kinds of different soil. So the kingdom's like 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Some that are ready, some that are not. So the kingdom's like a mustard seed that starts small but has unbelievable potential. The kingdom's like a treasure, a great treasure, valuable treasure found in a field. He said it's like a net that's cast into a sea, and it brings forth every kind of fish. But then Paul turns around in Romans and he sums it all up. He said, here's what it is. He said, it's like all these things. I'm trying to explain it to you. Jesus would speak in parables and mysteries. But then Paul would speak to the church and said, y'all know what it is. You know what it is. He said, it's not this earthly stuff that people are trying to put on the back of God and say it's him. It's not these things that are nothing like him. No, no, no. It's not that stuff. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Being right, having peace, experiencing joy. How much would you pay? I will. Being right, having peace, experiencing joy. I don't even want to think about the millions of dollars that people are paying right now to have peace, to prove they're right, and to experience joy. So valuable, such desirable things. And yet here we sit in this wonderful presence, and it's all wrapped up in one gift. People spend untold amounts of time and effort and money for these strings, and God said, I've got a gift that'll give you all that and all that. I'm telling somebody, the Holy Ghost is what you're looking for. Your Bible tells you that all these things are characteristic. They are part of the nature of the Holy Ghost, the fabric of the Holy Ghost, the DNA of the Holy Ghost. And let me just tell you, I don't care who you are, it's for you. I said it's for you. It's for the unbeliever, and it's for the believer. Here's what Jesus, or John the Baptist said, I'm going to baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one coming that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus told him in Acts 1, he said, being assembled together with them, he commanded they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for that promise of the Father, which he said, you, listen, have heard of me. Acts is not the first time Jesus talked about the Holy Ghost. On the last day of the great day of feast in John 7, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, because he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the Bible is clear to tell us this. He spake of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. I'm here to, if you read Acts 19, Paul came across some believers that had been baptized with the baptism of repentance. And his first question for them was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you first believed? I'm telling you, it's under your children, your children's children. It's for everybody, and it's definitely for a believer. If you count yourself a believer and you've yet to receive the Holy Ghost, I've got good news. I've got hope in this house. It is for you. Somebody say yes. How could one gift give so much? Paul said, here's what it gives. It just keeps on going. Paul said, the Holy Ghost keeps giving you right ways to live. Now, here's what I've found out about most of the folks that I meet, and I say most. Most folks want to do what's right. I can feel there's unbelief in this house right now. But I'm telling you, in my experience, if somebody asked me, I'd say, you know what? For the most part, now there's some rascals. There's some rascals. There's people that's like, why are you still sucking air? I mean, I didn't mean to say that, but you know, there's evil people. There's people that there's no excuse for them. Right? Y'all can judge me if you want to, but you know I'm right. There's a few of those, but most people just want to do right. It's just that there's this huge discussion about what is right and what is the right thing. Here's what I can tell you. People will fight. And when I say fight, I'm not talking figuratively. People will fight. History, previous and recent history, proves to us that people will fight for what they think and even what they feel. They don't even have to think about it. If they feel it is right. There's other folks that will get disillusioned because right just seems too hard to find. I can tell you, friend, it's actually much simpler than what you think. There's one who is right. There is one who is righteous, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even, and here's what he called it, the Spirit of truth. He called the Holy Ghost the Spirit of the truth. And he said, the world can't receive it because it can't see him, neither knows him, but you know him. He said, you know him because he is now with you. But the good news is he shall be in you. I'm here to tell you the same Jesus that stirred the dust of this planet is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that rules and reigns in a man's heart. The Holy Ghost is a gift of Jesus in you. It's what Paul meant when he said in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He said to the Father, I'm going to send, the Father's going to send in my name. And then he said, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, he said, here's what the Holy Ghost will do in your life. It will remind you of what you know and teach you what you don't know. Can I say that one again, George? It'll remind you of what you know. I said, what you know. Don't be acting all innocent like you don't know anything. You know when you're ugly. And I'm not talking about your looks. You know what I'm talking about right now? You know when your spirit's not right. There's some things you know. You know when some of the way that you talk ain't right. You know that some of the way that you act's not right. Five, because God's given us a conscience. There's something, the Holy Ghost is a weapon that walks into your life and says, now here's what you know, and here's what pleases God, and here's what does not please God. And they'll teach you also the things that you don't know. The Holy Ghost is amazing. You can walk into situations you don't know anything about, and God will lead you and guide you and direct you and show you things you don't know, circumstances you don't know, things you should not say, circumstances you should not be involved in. The Holy Ghost will guide you. I need somebody, y'all looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost will guide you if you let him. See, that's God's righteousness. That's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the thing. Sister Jill, I got all kinds of problems. You don't want to know all the problems I got. Okay? And when I start looking at the difference between the perfection of the Holy Ghost and my life, there's a couple times, I'm not going to tell you how many, there's a couple times where I see gaps. And there are times when I look at God's sovereignty and I look at his purity and I look at his awesome knowledge and I look at myself. It seems like a tall order that I could walk how he tells me to walk. When you weigh the difference between who you really are and what you hear and what you know and what you read, it can look like an ominous task. But don't worry. Don't you fret. Don't be upset, because the Holy Ghost, as it will lead you and guide you, it will give you power. Acts 1:8 said, and you shall receive power. That's dunamis. That's not your power. That's not his power or her power or the government's power. That's power from God. His power. Listen, I can't do it on my own, Joe, but if I've got the power of the Holy Ghost, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. I'm here to tell somebody the Holy Ghost will make the difference. Don't worry, you shall receive power. when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow what? Did you put an S on that? Rivers. Anybody ever seen the power of a river? Anybody ever seen pictures or been to the Grand Canyon? One river can carve out canyons. One. Everybody say one. One river can change geography and geology around it. One river can modify an entire environment. One river. When channeled, its strength can provide power for not a city, but regions upon regions, because even in its natural force, a river is powerful. Yet with all of man's attempts to harness its power, nothing is more frustrating than flood season. When boundaries, either set or not set, are overflowed by the passive power of that river. And everybody say, river. One river. Jesus looked and said, let me tell you something about this Holy Ghost I'm telling you. It's not one river, it's rivers. I don't know how many it was, but if one river can cut rock in two, if one river can harness the power of electricity for regions, I just wonder what rivers can do. When Jesus decided to describe the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you, he said it's like multiple rivers that you can't tame. It's like multiple rivers that can't be held in. And they'll flow out of you. But if that through that power, you decide, instead of I couldn't or wouldn't, you change your mind when the power's inside of you. Now it's I can and I will. And he said the Holy Ghost was a comforter. Now, yes, that means a consoler. But you know what else it means? It means an intercessor and an advocate. In fact, if you read the Amplified Version, every time the word comforter is mentioned in context with the Holy Ghost, it lists out it's a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby. Every time the comforter is mentioned, Jesus is saying it's going to help you. It's going to stand in for you. It's going to work for you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to stand by for you. And it's, I love that last one, stand by. The Holy Ghost is not enough power for you. It's more than enough power. The Holy Ghost has got power in reserve. Don't you look at your circumstance. Don't you look at hell. Don't you look at me and say, I don't know if this is, listen, oh, no, you got to understand. The Holy Ghost is more than enough power. You've got power in reserve to face anything you've got to face. And it's power to keep on living right. See, the Holy Ghost gives you multiple ways, more and more ways to live right. Multiple, like Paul said, also gives you peace. Whew. Peace. Jesus explained it this way. He said, peace I'm leaving with you. What was he talking about? I've got the sneaking suspicion he was talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Peace I'm going to leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives. Oh, what's the world's peace? It's temporary at best. What's the world's peace? It's false a lot of times. What's the world's peace? It's not peace at all. Not like the world gives you, give I unto you. But let not your heart be troubled, and neither be afraid. You've got my peace. I'm leaving your peace. And then he called the Holy Ghost a comforter. Listen, the Holy Ghost is a comforter that's as close as you can get to something. He spoke and said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, then the Comforter, which will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. But the Comforter, he said in John 14, which is the Holy Ghost, my Father's going to send in my name. It's going to do this. And here's what I found out. Do you know what I read? I read this week that hospitals, a recent phenomenon, and maybe it's longer, and I got nurses, I'll probably get fact-checked on this. But recently in hospital care, here's what they found out, that comfort aids healing. Thank you. I'm waiting for you to nod. Comfort aids healing. You can have all kinds of things wrong with you. And they say that part of the healing process is comfort. You don't realize what it's like. You don't realize what all goes on when you're in pain and you're hurt and you walk into the presence of God and it envelops you. Listen to me, that is more than just a good feeling. There is healing that is happening when you let the Holy Ghost hold you. Ooh. Listen, when I was a boy, we had this hall closet. And anytime you got sick in my house, Mama brought out the comforter. And you got on the couch, and she laid that comforter over you. And it had to be old and ratty and nasty because it was my whole childhood. So I'm just saying, it wasn't anything special. Just this old comforter we threw in. But when you were sick, I can see it. I can see it was light blue and had flowers on it. I don't know where it came from, what bed it was on at any time. But when I was sick, that comforter was there. And there was just something about getting on that couch. Come on, who's with me? Go with me to my childhood. Getting on that couch, and you get that comforter around you, and you may be sick as a dog, but you had your mama's hand, and you had the comforter around you, and you might not be well, but you were better. Can I tell you right now, I think there's a reason. Maybe I'm crazy. I think there's a reason why he called it partially the comforter, because there's been many times where I was messed up. There's been many times where I was hurt. Many times when I had pain, I didn't know what to do with. But then I walked into the presence of the Lord. I walked into the presence of the Lord, and what no one else or nothing else could console, God's presence wrapped me up in hope and a hug that healed my soul. I'm just telling you, the comforter is in this house. If you're in pain, the comforter's in this house. If you're not well, the comforter's in this house. You can get better because God's power, his spirit, gives you peace. And that peace is close. David prophetically foreshadowed this ever-present comfort. He said, if I go up into heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning and I dwell in the furthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, he said, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. When all else is gone, when every hope is depleted, when everything else is at a loss, I'm here to testify to somebody. He's still there. When your husband walked out on you, God is still there. When your kids forsake you, your God is still there. When your friends are nowhere to be found, your God is still there. When your money's run out, your God is still there. When hurt is more amplified than any other voice in your life, God's still standing right there. I've seen, you're going to have to kick him out to get rid of him. And I've seen people that had no reason for peace have it. Come on. I've seen people that ought to be curled up, shriveling and shaken from the circumstances that they were facing in their season. But the Holy Ghost can bring peace in any season. Let me end today. As they say, come to the piano and give them hope. Stand with me. Here's the other thing. Paul said, righteousness, peace, and joy. Say it again. Joy. Peter looked at all these folks. I want you to catch this. He looked at all these folks and he said, these are not drunken as you suppose. So I don't know what they were doing. The Bible doesn't say. But what I can tell you is their behavior was such that people thought they were drunk. Now, I got to be honest with you. I've not been around a ton of drunk people. But I was around one once. I went to a wedding of a guy that I work with. And this guy, he was reserved. He was put together. I mean, seriously. I mean, he had a tie on all the time. Always said the appropriate thing. The epitome of professionalism. But, Nate, I went to that wedding, and he obviously had been to the open bar. My wife and I were standing there. I don't know that the man ever came close enough to actually touch me. That dude walked right up to me and put his arm around me. Anybody know about a bubble? There was no bubble. He was right there and said, you know what, Brad? He was just talking to me like I was his best friend, that we had known each other since a boy. And I figured out really between his breath and his behavior, this guy's drunk. Why? Because drunk people, let's just say it, a lot of them are happy people. That's what I heard. That's what I saw. He had an artificial joy about him that nobody had ever seen before. But he needed alcohol to do it. Now, here's what I can tell you. When they came out on those streets, they were so happy that they were mistaken. Their behavior was such that they were mistaken for people that were beyond their own human reasoning. That something else had invaded their body and taken control. Now, I'm not telling y'all to get drunk, but here's what I am telling you, that the Holy Ghost has such joy. There is such joy in the power of the Holy Ghost that you can lose yourself in the happy that comes with feeling the power of God. I'm not trying to tell you you lose your mind, but I am trying to tell you you will lose your doubt. You will lose your unhappiness. You might lose your depression. You might lose all your sadness. Is there anybody that needs to lose something today? I'm going to take all the sickness. I'm going to exchange it for the joy. The joy of the Lord. It's not by accident that thousands of years before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out. Come on, that's all right. That Isaiah would prophesy and said, therefore with joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, because he's done excellent things in all of the earth. Cry out. Shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the middle of you. I'm here to tell you, he's in the middle of this. He's right in the middle of this. There's no reason why you can't have peace, righteousness, and joy. The Holy Ghost is here. All you've got to do is you got to reach out and receive it. Now, this was not a masterpiece of a sermon. I promise you that. But it did get the basics out there to you. And I can say this with confidence. After all that, who wouldn't want this? And after all that, if you already got it, who wouldn't want to celebrate it? But if you need more, let me just put this exclamation point on it. This is not a nice to have. It's a need to have. This is not convenience. It is commanded in obedience to the gospel. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. It just says shall. It just says shall. It doesn't say you have to. Let me ask you something. If a king says, you shall. If a king says, every word in that book was written by men as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. 32 different writers, but one author. And that altar said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here's what I believe. There's not anybody in this place that can escape the will of God. He said, you shall, you shall, you shall, you shall, you shall. You ought to point to five people and tell them, you shall, you shall, you shall. The Holy Ghost is in this house. I don't know, really know how to position myself. I don't know how to position myself. Here, I'm gonna give you some instruction. We're gonna sing. Just keep on. We're gonna sing, we're gonna pray, and God's gonna pour out His Spirit. But here's what I've found. This may be elementary, but this is true, I believe. People who pray and praise God receive the Holy Ghost. Anybody with me? Anybody ever seen somebody filled with the Holy Ghost? I mean, there's a few exceptions, Brother Melder. There's a few exceptions, and God can do it however He wants to, okay? I'm just saying, from what I've seen, it's always been somebody that was crying out, shouting out, reaching out. They were praising God. They were praying, and the Holy Ghost came. Now, listen, again, I put my disclaimer out there. God can do it however He wants to. But it's been my observation that people that don't do those things, don't. They don't receive the Holy Ghost. They walk away and wonder if it was real. They walk away and wonder if that preacher was lying. They walk away and say, what's wrong with me? I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You've got to just open up your heart. You definitely got to repent of your sins. And if there's anything that you are doing that you know hurts the heart of God, you need to get that out of the way right now. In fact, I think it'd be good for us all to repent right here. Anybody think you need to repent today? Come on, lift your hands. You pray in your own words. Father, keep going. Father, in your name, Lord, if there be anything in my heart. God, there's things you know, I know, you and I know. They're not right, God. I confess those before you right now. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive me of those sins. God, in my mind and in my heart, I turn away from those things. Turn away from those behaviors, those attitudes, those ideas. God, I turn away from those things right now. God, I'm walking towards you in my mind, an inward change of direction, inward change of mind, and an outward change of direction right now, Lord, in my heart. God, the unknown things. If there's anything inside of me, God, that's keeping me from you, God, show it to me right now. I'll confess it. God, I'll give it to you. I'll lay it on this altar today in prayer. Come on, that's it. Pray that, pray that, pray that. Come on, be sincere. If you want the Holy Ghost, you got to be real. Come on. And maybe why some of you are not receiving it yet. You failed to surrender that thing. Jesus. Jesus. Now, I wouldn't embarrass anybody. I need everybody to back up about 5 feet. And if nobody, there's no pressure here, okay? Because here's, I'm going to ask you, if you need the touch of the Holy Ghost, or you've never had the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you to come up here right now. There's no shame in it, because as soon as you do, there's going to be like 5 or 6 people that are going to gather around you. You won't be up here by yourself very long. Is there anybody? Maybe you just need a refreshing. Come on. You've never received the Holy Ghost. Never received it. Come on. Make a declaration right now. Declare His works in your life. Come on. Step forward. Step forward. Step forward. Anybody? 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 There's one right there. There's one. He needs a touch right now. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I need some Holy Ghost filled men. Come on. Here's one right here. Here's one right here. He needs a touch of the Holy Ghost. Anybody else? Anybody never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Come on, anybody else? Come on, by faith, come on up here. By faith, come on up here. See, I just need to know. I need to leave knowing. That's all right. Come on up here. We got folks that'll pray with you. Now, That's right, sis. That's right, sis. Come on, Holy Ghost filled believer, right here. All right, come on. The rest of us are going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak the word of faith over these folks. God, we believe and know your power to be real. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on these souls. In the name of the Lord. Come on, that's it. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. That's it. You're going to start speaking in a language you've never heard before in your life. Come on, just let that tongue go. Let that mouth go. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Somebody worship.